That was the title track from Gurrier's Death Goblin. The fifth group of the hour is Gordon Gardena's The Marrow with Fatite Honari. Rakus E. Parvane. I would like to feature DSFU Red Leafs hockey at this time. On September 21st, the Red Leafs non-conference team hosted the Trinity Western University Spartans at Burnaby's Bill Copeland. SFU opened the scoring 3:46 into the game as Walker Erickson eluded Leon's Sommer. But Trinity tied the game late in the first stanza with 6:14 left as Zach Whitaker beat Gabe Gratton, who made his SFU debut. However, the Red Leafs quickly struck back for a 2-1 lead just 35 seconds later as Lucas Cesarelli scored on Leon. Just a minute, please. On Leon Sommer with a Sommer with 5:39 left in the first. SFU finished the first period up 2-1 as shots were tied at 9 apiece with Trinity Western. Spartan Jonathan Cron was called for tripping 5:26 into the second period as the Red Leafs went on to their second man advantage and Caleb Hoffman gave SFU a 3-1 lead on the power play. The Red Leafs opened a 3-goal bulge at 11:41 of the second as Holden Cardinal eluded Leon Sommer. The game turned with 6:39 left in the second when Trinity's Dane Dubois checked SFU's Dylan Brooks in the head, promoting Red Leaf Ben Ward to get at Dubois, and a fight between Austin Fraser and Spartan Jake Jurgenite. While all four combatants were given penalties, including 10-minute misconducts, Dane Dubois was ejected for his head check on Dylan Brooks as Dubois was given a 5-minute match penalty. And SFU earned a 3-minute power play with Ben Ward's 2-minute penalty where the Red Leafs could score at will on the Spartans. SFU cashed in their fifth goal with 4:03 left in the second on a Max Potvantelli, followed by Lucas Cecharelli's second of the night just 56 seconds later, both on Spartan Leon Sommer. SFU ended period 2 up 6-1, outshooting Trinity Western 16-6. The Spartans replaced Leon Sommer with Cole Savage at the beginning of period 3. Savage's teammate Connor Farron eluded Red Leaf Gabe Gratton, whose teammate Max Potvin scored SFU's 7th goal 8:48 into the 3rd for his 2nd of the night on Trinity's Cole Savage as the Red Leafs destroyed the Spartans 7-2 as SFU outshot Trinity Western 34-22. Gabe Gratton won his Red Leafs debut with 32 saves on 34 shots, while the Spartans' Leon Sommer took the loss after surrendering 6 goals on 25 shots.
Hi, it's Steve Chong. Tonight is September 21st, 2024. I'm in front of dressing room 4 at Burnaby's Bill Copeland, and I'm interviewing
Mark Coletta,
the head coach for the SFU Red Leafs hockey non-conference team, who dominated the Trinity Western Spartans 7-2 with multiple power play goals. First of all, what was said in the dressing room before tonight's game, one night after SFU 6-4 win over the same Trinity Western Spartans?
Well, just to play hard and make sure you keep your head up and work hard and do all those good things that we've been working on in practice. And it's tough to play back-to-back nights, but I think our guys handle it.
How big was the 5-minute match penalty where a Spartan checked a Red Leaf in the head that led to multiple fights?
Yeah, I think it was just a couple of skirmishes. The power play ended up scoring a couple of goals, so that's a good thing. And you try to tell your guys to stay out of the garbage. You can't fight in this league. So it was a hit to the head, and our guys responded well on the power play and scored some goals.
Tell me about Max Poffin and Lucas Citarelli's combination, especially for the Red Leafs power play.
Yeah, very good. They moved the puck around. Good chemistry early in the season. That's good to see. That whole line's really good. Walker, Erickson, with Poppin, and Ciccarelli, they're doing a great job. So hopefully we can continue that next week.
What do you make of Gabe Gratton's play in his SFU debut?
Oh, very good. I mean, he's a confident guy, first-year goalie. You know, he's coming in to try and fight for a spot, so he did really well.
Any update on the player who got hit in the head that led to the five-minute match
penalty?
He should
be okay. Obviously, when you get a big hit like that, you take your time after the game tonight, and we'll make sure he sees our medical guys. Our medical staff is really good, and probably 3-4 days for sure that he'll be off.
What's the player's name?
Dylan Brooks.
Finally, what does the SFU Red Leafs non-conference team have to do against your next opponent, the UBC Thunderbirds, the same team that edged you 4-3 two Fridays ago at Bill Copeland? But next week we'll be at Doug's Thunderbird Sports Center in UBC.
Yeah, we have to play hard and use our brains a bit. You know, the mental side of the game is really important. So, you know, we know we got a skilled team. They're much very polished and have some quality guys with us. So, you know, playing within our systems and playing hard is the most important thing.
Thank you for the interview tonight, and congratulations on SFU's 7-2 win over the Trinity Western Spartans, the second win in as many nights.
Alright, thank you.
Hi once again, it's Steve Chong. I'm still in front of dressing room 4 at Burnaby's Bill Copeland, and in front of me is
Max Poppin,
the first star for the SFU Red Leafs, who destroyed the Trinity Western Spartans 7-2, with Max scoring 2 goals and tallying 3 assists as the first star of the game. First of all, what was said in the dressing room before tonight's game, one night after SFU 6-4 win over the very same Trinity Western Spartans?
I think the message in the room is clear every night. We want to go out and win, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So yeah, we just came in and we did what we could, and we got the W. So.
What was said on the SFU bench after Dylan Brooks was laid out that led to the 5-minute match penalty?
Yeah, I mean, the boys were pretty upset with it. You never like to see a hit like that to the head. You know, it's especially in a game like that. But it's just stay level-headed and don't get stupid out there. You know, don't feed into their game. But, yeah, just stay calm.
Tell me about your first goal of the game, which happened during the same power play.
Yeah, I mean, Maxie made a great play low. All I had to do was put the puck in the net. Honestly, it was just a good play for my teammates.
Explain your offensive performance, 2 goals and 3 assists.
Yeah, I think our line's been playing really good. Playing with speed, I think it's just been been finding us, and we've been making no mistake in capitalizing. And, you know, I think if we can keep this rolling, I think it's going to be a really good season.
Now, like, to delve into your hockey journey, when did you start playing the game?
Been around the game my whole life. My dad played hockey, so I've been on skates since I can remember. 1 year old, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Who is your? What is your dad's name?
Steve Poppin.
I know Dennis and Mark Poppin. I don't know about other players.
Yeah, my dad played a long career in Europe. He played pro, and now he's a head coach of Tucson Roadrunners in the AHL. And he's been a great help to me, and I look up to him.
When was the first time you made a rep or a travel team?
I think it was the Coyotes. I've been a part of the Junior Coyotes my whole life. I think I'm going to say U13, U12.
I understand that you played in the BCHL for the last few seasons. I also spent time in Powell River when I was in elementary to high school from 11 to 18 in high school, and I continued to live there till 2006. Tell me what are your experience with the Powell River Kings.
Yeah, I mean, beautiful town, first of all. Great views right on the ocean, like, really nice. And I had a great time there, and you know, I met a lot of good guys, a lot of good billets. You know, coached, I learned a lot from coaching, everything. I learned a lot about myself, and you know, all in all, just a good experience. I'm really happy I had the opportunity to play there.
What made you choose the SFU Red Leafs non-conference team with no guarantees of playing any games?
Yeah, like I said, like I wanna play at the highest level I can, and I was offering a chance to get in front of these D1 schools and perform in front of these guys, and that really drew me in. I wanna build something here at SFU, and I'm really excited to see what happens this year.
Finally, what does you and your teammates have to do against UBC next week at Doug Thunderbird Sports Center next weekend?
Yeah, I've never played there. I've heard it's a pretty great barn, but I think we gotta play good team defense. First of all, we gotta stay tight. Can't make any sloppy mistakes. And on the offensive part, you know, just use our speed and skill that we have. And we know the offense is there. I think it's just maybe like pay attention to little details to really help us win games.
Thanks for the interview tonight. Congratulations on earning the first star of the game, along with SFU's 7-2 win over the Trinity Western Spartans, the second win in as many nights.
Yeah, second win. Thank you so much.
I'd like to apologize for not knowing certain players during the interviews, as the score sheet for the game was not available until the game was completed. I would also like to make some corrections from my interview with Max. I also know of Gene Potvin, the older brother of the New York Islander great Dennis Potvin, and I lived in Powell River until 2007. Back to the SFU Red Leafs. The program announced on September 24th that its non-conference team added another game against the University of Victoria Vikes, which play in the British Columbia Intercollegiate Hockey League, on November 29th at Bill Copeland, increasing the SFU Red Leafs non-conference schedule to 21 games. On September 25th, the SFU Hockey Facebook and Twitter pages provided a one-minute recap of the non-conference Red Leafs' two wins over Trinity Western over the last weekend.
Starting from the week of Monday, May 30th, the Student Union Building is open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. The sub-building common spaces, along with the bookable spaces, are available for use. Any comments or questions, please go to the Simon Fraser Student Society website at sfss.ca for more information.
Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It had been the most polarizing topic in Surrey for the last 6 years. The then Mayor Doug McCallum pursued the Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15th, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19th, 2023. However, Locke's fight did not end right away, as her two petitions against the BC NDP government for a judicial review on being forced to continue with the SPS was rejected on May 23, 2024, followed by her acceptance of the court's decision on June 10th, and culminated by an agreement between the BC NDP government and Surrey City on July 10th, according to a BC government news release. Surrey will receive $30 million a year to 2029, when a financial guarantee of up to $20 million if the SPS salaries are higher than the RCMP may kick in and continue until 2034, for a total of up to $250 million. Surrey will fully support the transition to the SPS and not impose a police tax in the next decade. In addition, according to the BC government news release, the SPB budget, originally requested at $141.5 million, fits within Surrey's financial budget and will hire 526 officers by the end of 2024, 67% of all Surrey police officers. On September 25th, the SPS Twitter page posted that the SPS is hiring an experienced surgeon for arson. On September 26th, the SPS Twitter page provided a brief preview of when it becomes Surrey's POJ, Police of Jurisdiction, on November 29th, when the BCRCMP will assist the SPS until they are no longer needed. Also on September 26th, several SPS officers participated in supper for seniors in association with Cloverdale Kitchen, according to Surgeon Dale Curring's Twitter page. Today, the SPS held another coffee with community via its green team in association with Surrey Crime Prevention Society, according to its Twitter page. Also, just in today, the BC Conservative leader John Rustad put an end to the Surrey Police transition debate as he addressed an allegation from the former Surrey Panorama candidate Dupinder Saran, who dropped out of the party last month, as she was frustrated with the BC Conservatives' supposed intention to thinking about bringing back the RCMP to Surrey. But John Rustad, the BC Conservative leader, rejected Saran's suggestion. At a press conference today, he said the Surrey Police transition debate is resolved with Surrey's Mayor Brenda Locke and Council, dominated by her Surrey Connect, have moved on. Rustad also added that the BC Conservatives will do what they can able to support the transition, so that safety that's needed in Surrey is achieved. John Rustad also claimed that crime in Surrey has skyrocketed and people don't feel safe in Surrey, despite stats from the Surrey RCMP saying most types of crimes are actually down since last year, including violent crime, while residential break and enters and shoplifting went up about 5% each. Also today, Surrey Police Service hosted they hosted BCLEM Ride to Remember Cyclists for a stop in Surrey today. It's a 450 kilometer tour to honor 132 officers who died serving their communities. Also, John Rustad's rejection of the BC Conservatives possibly bringing back the Surrey RCMP, thus putting an end to the Surrey police debate, was provided by Srishti Gangdev and Charles Brockman from City News Vancouver. Thank you for listening to episode 37 of the Steve Chong Show in 2024, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North.
My name is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of a community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.